These people are confused. This needs love got stronger. Do I love God more? Do I love me? I call it the street Jesus.
Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
You're listening to Live from the Path, coming to you from the Pathway Studios here in the metropolis of big old Johnston proper. It's good to, I don't know, foe see you. You're on the computer. I don't know how to deal with, I don't know, digital relationships. Boova, listen here, this is the last time I'm going to tell you to stop making that eyebrow thing at the camera.
No, it's fun.
This isn't one of those internet programs where they do that.
It is, because I keep doing it.
That's awful.
I'm making it happen.
All right. All right, I don't know.
You're just gonna have to deal with it.
Here's the deal: as soon as people get a camera on their face, they play with their own facial features like a 6-year-old. Like, oh look,
proudly too.
My nostrils flare. Oh look, my eyebrows go up and down.
Hey man, I'm recently paying attention to how great I look. Man, leave it alone.
All right. Here's what we got going on the show tonight. Hey, first of all, it's the what's the word magnanimous mean? Anybody know? No. I want to use it, but I'm just not sure it's correct. Here's what I'm going to say it and then look it up.
It just seems big.
Okay, here's magnified. What I'm saying. It's the magnanimous return of Wayne Stewart and Chris Akers into the studio. Fellas, it's good to see you again.
I resent that.
Yeah. You don't know. Hold on. I'm not going to look it up. Is someone else looking it up?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So anyway, let's hope that turns out to be true. I'm excited. There's tons of stuff going on with those fellas. There's books coming out. There's people getting married. There's people going to random countries in the world, being harassed by other Jesus people to keep doing what they're doing. That's how I describe your tribunal, President. So anyway, like we're going to talk about all that. It's great to catch up with these guys, a couple of my favorite fellas to have on the show. So we're going to get caught up with them. Also, what did you find it?
I found it.
What does it mean?
So magnanimous is having or showing a generous and kind nature.
Hey, that's right on, Akers. Oh. You take it back what I said.
Yeah. I resemble that remark. That's great.
All right. Especially when my hair parts to the left. So, we got, in addition, Boova got some Pope style. Preview on the Pope style, Boova.
Glorify God now. That's all you get.
The Pope's getting offensive. So, here's the deal with the Pope style advice. Someone has mistaken Boova for the Pope.
Unfortunately.
And there's nothing he can do about it, and they refuse to leave his lawn unless he comes out and gives him something advice that applies to his life and to theirs, just like the Pope does when he goes out on that balcony thing. And so Boova's got to give some Pope style today. Sounds like it's going to be a little fierce, and we'll see how that goes. Also, there was this article on one of my favorite for forlorn Christian or college teenagers, which is relevantmagazine.com. They always have pictures of folks that fit that description. But there was an interesting article about 6 problems with trying to be sold out for Jesus. 6 problems with trying to be sold out for Jesus. What's the matter, Eric? You look like you ate the cold porridge in the Goldilocks story.
No, I'm intrigued. I want to kind of see where the author's going to go with this one. And
could go anywhere, right?
See how I react. Yeah,
okay.
It really could.
All right, cool. So we're going to try to get to that. Also, we got advice on Dear Life from the Path. And here's the deal. Before... usually I say before we ruin the show, but I feel like Akers and Stewart in here, they're going to keep it above board. So we're probably not going to ruin
pressure,
it.
Man.
So, yeah. So I think for once, maybe, I'm going to give you our sponsor information, and hopefully, like, this actually does something well for them. So, don't forget our sponsors, Bob Eisenhower with the Eisenhower team. Eisenhower, he was on the news this week. Did anybody catch that?
Really? No.
He murdered a woman.
Wow.
No, that's not what went on. So he was, they were at channel.
Tell us more.
That guy gets away with everything.
Yeah.
So he was on, I think he was on channel 8 or whatever, but they were interviewing him about industry trends in the real estate industry. Hmm. And so Bob Eisenhower was on there. So anyway, Bob Eisenhower with the Eisenhower team, go to EisenhowerTeam.com. Him and his team are just awesome. They're great guys to work with. And if you go to the website, you can check out the current listings as well as any of the houses that are for sale in kind of the Des Moines metro area and to the north. And also, maybe you don't know if it's now is the right time to buy or sell a house. Bob's a good guy to ask. He's in the business. That's why the news wants to talk to him.
I feel like Eisenhower should thank me for that interview because they asked me that interview first and then I had to turn them down for a scheduling conflict. So I sent them his way. So I feel like he owes me a thank you.
He mentioned something like that.
Okay, good. Just checking.
So anyway, that's what's going on. EisenhowerTeam.com. Check that out. Also, Westfield Veterinary Hospital. Go to WestfieldVetHospital.com for all your pet care needs. I saw an article they posted on Facebook this week and it was like, how do you know your dog is fat? And I thought to myself, how do I know this? Because I look at the dog and I say, the dog is fat.
Yeah, I know the answer to that one. When you try to get on the couch and say, get down, and he doesn't move, and you're like, well, I'll just shove you because I'm a human. And he doesn't move either. That dog's fat.
So apparently, though, like the deal with dogs is that you can't tell as easily whether they are overweight. Like that, you look at them and it's not so obvious that they're above the broad.
We have an 8-pound dog.
Is it supposed to be 6 pounds?
I think so, because they told our daughter last time, you're just a little bit, she's at the high end. Because he eats all of our other dog's food.
Well, yeah.
I don't know how to fix that.
Don't give him as much and then hide the other food?
Did you raise kids, Dad?
I didn't. They weren't animals. They're civil. They eat their own food.
Not dog food, though, right?
Correct. Yeah, well, okay. In the beginning,
it's tough times in ministry.
When you don't have the credentials you guys have.
I didn't pass the tribunal. Alpo for the children. I really like this tribunal process. Yeah. It sounds like Jesus Survivor to me.
I'm just imagining a bunch of dudes in robes.
I'm seeing them passing like, a pipe along.
Torches.
Chanting the whole time.
Here's the deal. Someone has to be doing something legitimate. And it sounds like the E-Free Church is doing legitimate things. I like it.
We feel comfortable saying
as much as I know about this tribunal.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, what was it? Westfield Vet Hospital. Go to Westfield Vet Hospital. There you go. They're going to stop sponsoring the show. WestfieldVetHospital.com. They can help you out. Hey, find them on Facebook, too. That they can help you make sure you know your dog is fat.
Yeah.
they post articles to that.
A legit style. Like, they're really good at what they do. They're really good at I know them personally. I've been taking my animals there for years. They're really good at what they do. So I trust them with my pets. I'd probably let them watch my kids, frankly. So I don't know whether that speaks well of me or my kids, but in either case, Westfield Veterinary Hospital here in Johnson, it's an excellent place to take your pet.
All right, so here's the deal. Let's get caught up with the fellas that are joining us in studio. And Chris Akers, so here's the deal. Me and Akers are kind of friends on the Facebook, and I keep seeing pictures of you with an upcoming celebratory event. And so tell me about this. You're getting married coming up, right?
Am I?
That's what I've heard.
Oh, yes, I am.
I didn't let the cat out of the bag, right? No, this is public information.
It's public.
So
2 months from now, yeah.
So that's coming right up. How are you feeling? You feeling ready for this thing?
I'm feeling beyond. I've never felt this full of joy, honestly. So I'm very excited, and I'm just ready to take that step. So
let me ask you this. I mean, especially in a church environment, right? Like, has anybody offered you advice that you thought was like, I mean, just a coin of wisdom approaching marriage?
There's a lot of coins floating around.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
yeah. But you know, I appreciate those guys, even if it's something that I've had 8 different people tell me at the same time. I realize that they are edified in passing that on, and so I'm happy to let them do that. And honestly, I need the reminder. So I appreciate it.
So as a man that is approaching this, who is not yet married, do you have any advice for a man in your same shoes?
If I was to turn to myself in the mirror and give myself a little...
Or a man similar to you that parts his hair to the right.
Akers, you need to stick with what Ben tells you to stick with. You can't just be adding your own flair.
It'll work better for all of us. Advice is just continue to lean into the scripture and humble yourself and seek to love her first and treat her as your first mission field. And I think if that's the approach you have, then you'll think of yourself less, and there's just more joy in that. So that'd be my advice.
I think that's true. I think it's dead on true. As a matter of fact, people that seem to be able to articulate that well and understand not just as like a talking point for marriage, but understanding the repercussions of what that means in their marriage, tend to be earmarks of people that are just straight up ready for it. To be honest, like in my experience, that has tended to be the case. So I'm excited for you. Now, do you have are you traveling after the marriage?
Yeah. So both of us are from the state of Washington, and all of our relatives are there. So we're going to get married July 11th, 7/11 day. Originally, we were thinking about having Slurpees, but Slurpees. Wasn't going
to. Wait, is that a deal? Is that a deal? 7/11 is the
I think just in honor of our marriage, 7-Eleven will be offering free Slurpees, which will make my wife very happy. Yeah. The woman loves a Slurpee. So, we're flying 2,000 miles away, being surrounded by friends and family, saying our vows there, getting married, and then we're going to travel around the state because it's just gorgeous. And I miss the ocean. She misses the mountains. It's going to be a great time.
Boy, that sounds pretty cool. It's going to be a heck of a time, Akers. I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
All right, so let's get to reacquaint ourselves with Chris musically. What's the first one you want to play for us tonight?
I'd love to open with a song I wrote recently that we've been singing at the church. It's called Grace. Just reminding myself again of what the Lord has done for me. So
cool. This is Chris Akers with Grace. You're listening to Live from the Path.
This is the wake of the God who became flesh and took my place. This is the taste of his justifying love by grace through faith. And through the kiss received from a traitor's lips, through the crown of thorns and the cross's grip, the afflicted servant is alive again and calls me friend and calls me as a friend. This is the place of acceptance in his fatherly embrace. And this is the grace of adoption as his own into his name. And through the kiss received from a traitor's lips, through the crown of thorns and the cross's grip, the afflicted servant is alive again and calls me friend and calls me as a friend. It's by grace and grace alone, by not of my own. All this hallowed ground is on, for Christ is on the throne. And through the kiss received from a traitor's lips, through the crown of his grip, the afflicted servant is alive again and calls me friend and calls me friend. And through the kiss received from a traitor's lips, through the crown of thorns and the cross his grip, the afflicted servant is alive again and calls me friend. You call me as a friend.
Woo!
Wow, thank you guys.
Yeah, you're good. Hey, man, that was awesome.
Very nice, fellas.
Thank you.
So, what's it like for you? You said you've been singing that at church, right?
Yeah.
So, what's that like to be able to hear? And both of you guys may have had this experience to hear people like being able to worship to a song that you created.
I think for me, that is one of the most sublime moments, because I think it's in that moment that you begin to realize that this little seed that was planted in your head wasn't for you, but was in fact for others to connect with God through. So when you get to hear them sinking into the lyrics for the first time and lifting their voices to the creator of all things and thanking him for grace, I don't think there's many things better in the world. So
that's actually a pretty unique experience, you know, to be able to sit on that side of the table and actually have that feeling. Mostly because a lot of people get the experience where they've either done something or been part of a conversation and they're like, I don't know where that came from. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it was me, but I know it was glorifying to God, but I just don't have any idea where that came from. But like, it's got to be a different experience to be able to, you know, feel that through a worship setting where it's multiple people in a group, you know, community style, worshiping God. That's just got to be a pretty cool feeling.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's even a different, I was just thinking if there's anything to relate to or like, and Dan, maybe you think about this, like it's if you're preaching, right? Like if you're saying something and even if you get feedback that other people have kind of, you know, understood what you were talking about or have gotten something from what God has kind of had going on there, that still is actually an altogether different experience, because that tends to, you don't tend to happen in big groups. It's not a communal thing. They're still kind of sharing that individually. Maybe they'll talk about it in groups or whatever, but like, to have like groups of folks kind of singing along or being part of your personal worship and doing it as a community. Like that's awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
That's an awesome deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Shoot. I'm not going to write a tune. I just thought, I should pen one. I thought, no, the Lord is skilled steward and acres for that type of business. that's not up my alley.
Hey, so if people dig on that tune, is there somewhere where they can find it apart from attending your church locally?
You know, a neat thing that I discovered since we talked about my fiance here, I discovered, I had no idea until a couple months ago that she actually has this incredible voice. And I was at a wedding and I heard this beautiful alto voice and I'm looking around, I'm like, who is that? Because I've only heard her sing kind of goofy songs. And I leaned down and realized, this is my fiance. And I started tearing up a little bit. So the connection here is that she and I have kind of stepped into the process of recording songs together. So this is one that I haven't thrown her voice on it yet, so I don't think it's ready. But as soon as I can get her into the studio, we'll mix that thing down and share it. And then
why do you put the studio in quotes, Akers?
Yeah. Because it's my office. Oh. with a microphone and a MacBook.
I thought at the beginning of that story you were going to offer just to send your fiance out singing it to people. I didn't quite know where that was going. I thought, are you just going to send her out and say, here, people want to hear it, go.
All right, so let's do a little catching up with Wayne.
Yeah.
So Wayne Stewart, it's been a while. So we ran into Akers like over... what was it, like a months ago? Though not years, but with Wayne, it's been years.
I think it was 4 years ago.
All right, so what's been keeping you busy, Wayne Stewart?
Well, lots of ministry stuff, right? And then plenty of stuff on the family side as well. The sort of unknown piece of information here so far is that Chris's fiance is my oldest daughter.
Yes,
so right. Not only do we work together every day in ministry endeavors, but he will be joining the family, and we're super excited. We couldn't be more thrilled. So there's lots going on there. Right?
I thought you were going to say, keep your friends close and your son-in-law's closer. Like, that's what I thought was coming out of your mouth.
That was what the wink was for. Look here. Yeah. Yeah, so lots of exciting stuff going on there, obviously. Yeah, so, you know, the whole family story is we're back. We're from the Seattle area originally. We moved out to the Midwest when our kids were, you know, late elementary school, early junior high. Been in the Midwest for about 10 years now, but everybody from both sides of the family is back there. So we're heading back for a grand celebration and a great time together. So we're super excited, both for a celebration and for what's ahead for these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt.
It's fantastic.
So, I mean, do you have that in your blood? Like, do you feel like the coast is calling you back eventually, Wayne?
You know, we tell our families that we're making it back one state at a time. We were in Illinois for 7 years, and so we just shifted one west. And so it's either one of the it's either one of the Dakotas or Nebraska next, right?
Ooh. Maybe you could do an extra year here and then float over.
Skip over.
There have been hundreds of thousands of people try to get through Nebraska, and it's never happened. Yeah. They're still living there.
I think that's everybody who lives in
Nebraska. We're going to make it to the West, friends, right. I promise. And then all of a sudden, the buffalo gets dysentery, and all of a sudden, you can't go anywhere.
Every time. Tried to caulk and float the river.
What is this, the Oregon Trail?
Generations of people because somebody got a flat tire.
Why do we never have hardtack? Why?
Okay, all right. So among other things, keeping busy with marriages coming up, ministry stuff going on around you. Tell me more about it.
Yeah, a couple of big things in the last year. Well, actually, quite a few big things in the last year. But one, Chris and I had the privilege of walking with our church family into a transition in a new property and new facilities that. Honestly, for 15 years, long before we've been there, right, people have been dreaming and praying and sacrificing for what might come forward. And Lord's timing, in the last year, we were able to sort of move off of the historic site that the church has been at for 50 years and sort of move into this great piece of property northwest of town where the town is really shifting that direction.
Yep.
And the church has been there on site with basically a place called the Plex. It has, we run our Upward programs there and lots of community stuff. I mean, every week the community is using the facilities there for stuff. So it's really a connection and relationship building place. And yep. We were able to move sort of the church all out there together. So cool. That was huge. A lot of good work, a lot of good collaboration, and super, super thankful for the season that we're in there. So lots of cool stuff going on.
Boy, there. Man, tons going on. And in the midst of all this, Wayne Stewart, you've got a book.
Yeah.
So tell me about the book Bigger. Like where did... Where did the inspiration for this come from, and what were you hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, it's sort of my take on trying to talk about worship in the sense of sort of a broader spiritual formation development conversation, right? I feel like oftentimes, and for good reason, we land talking about the things of what happened when we gather as worship, right? So the idea is, it's much, much bigger than that. And it really has to be for a couple of reasons. One is that God deserves much more than an hour a week, right? And we talk about sort of we talk about a spectrum of smaller to bigger worship. Smaller we define as 1 hour a week and what I like or don't like about it.
Right.
So there's sort of an evaluative, approach to that 1 hour a week as well. So if we break out of that and we start moving away from that, then obviously the time factor blows up into all of life. And the evaluation factor turns into sort of, well, what does God really want? What does God deserve? And what honors him? And then what does it look like for me to sacrifice for my brother and sister? And what does it look like for me to live in submission to one another and in sort of the greater one another's in the New Testament? So the approach here is to sort of take it away from the details of gathered worship and talk about something hopefully much bigger. So.
Boy, I love that. I think that is something I think we've noticed that even in some of our own culture stuff is like we're often fighting an event, a worship event, a gathering. Our understanding of community is even jaded a little bit.
Yeah.
When we talk about community, people think again communal event gatherings, not living in a community.
Right.
Yeah. And it's something that I think the church is struggling with across the board. With getting away from that mentality and understanding something as a lifestyle versus things that you otherwise connect back in and back out of. And actually, we were having this conversation with some other guys at the church recently when it had to do with even having to teach community. Like, there are other cultures that simply get this much better.
Right.
And things that otherwise the culture in which Jesus was talking in would have understood and kind of baked into the things that he's saying, where it's like we're almost having to teach a society how to live in some sort of community, and not only that, but worship as a community and that kind of thing. And it's a difficult gap because it just seems to be something that we miss.
Yeah, we're not set up well for that. There are certain core values, and some of them have very good sort of underpinnings.
Yeah.
But they spin out into things that we really don't want them to, right? Sort of our individualism and sort of the strength of the one against, sort of the isolationism that we encounter in times and foster ourselves. So as a society, we're not quite set up all that well. But hey, that's the hope of the body, right?
Yeah, right on.
You know that Christ is creating something completely new, something completely different. And so that's a bit of the hope in the book as well.
It seems like we have lost community as we have added, in the last couple generations, soccer practice 4 times a week and all the things that we just fill our times and our schedule with that we're so busy with our kids that we have all these separate little communities that we've lost the church community. It's just that, like we said, another event. We have a softball event and a baseball event and soccer and church and the different things we do, and it's somehow we've compartmentalized everything, and to get back to living in Jesus community, it's a struggle for people, because then they feel like they're losing something, or the kids feel like they're being punished. Well, if they're taking them out of softball or something, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So that's it. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
That's a challenge I faced as a youth worship leader. Is that the more I get to know these kids, the more I want to get them into community with myself, talking about songs and talking about the leadership of the team. But every time I go to invite them to another get together, it's conflicting with softball, or I just feel badly because they're already so booked. But it's been really neat to see some of these kids say, no, we really want to do this. So yeah, it's a challenge.
So kind of based off of that discussion, like, would you say, is your book targeted any people specifically, or is it like, I mean, that's digestible for everybody, it sounds like to me.
Yeah, we've used it the last 4 years as a small group curriculum. So there's a 4-week schedule that goes with the reading and reflection exercises and lots of conversation. So, and the majority of the people that go through the 4 weeks are people that come in on the front end and are interested in worship and arts ministry at our church. We just say, hey, if you're going to be interested in it, let's talk about how we think about these things, right?
Yeah.
So we try and create that from the front end, and Chris and I lead those groups, and we have a fantastic time just sort of reading out loud, talking, digesting it together, and it's very, very fun. And then there have been a few small groups, just sort of, you know, like a couple small groups, men's small groups that have been interested along the way as well. And we've done a little bit of teaching on Sunday mornings the last few years, but, you know, it's mostly been a small group process, which has been kind of fun. Then it kind of grows from the bottom up.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah. That's very cool. All right, well, let's reacquaint ourselves with Wayne artistically. Wayne, what do you got for us to fire up here?
Yeah, so this next song is called This Love, and interestingly, it sort of flows a little bit out of, I think, what some of the ideas in the book are, right? You know, this sort of greater call to what worship looks like more broadly, and then the implication of what that means for us in submitting to one another, those kind of things. So I just sort of got stuck on this idea that because Jesus came, there's sort of a line in the sand at which humanity no longer is allowed to say, we don't get it, that we don't understand what we're supposed to be.
Right.
So prior to Jesus, yeah, arguably you could say, look, maybe there's a bit of confusion about this, right? I mean, the sort of downward spiral after the fall made things so distorted that you go, okay, we didn't get this. But Scripture's clear. At the point of Jesus, we get the perfect Adam, right? We get the guy who did it right the second time around. So there's no question how to live. Well, counterintuitively, though, his life looks like laying down his life for others.
Right.
So that's kind of the call of this song, and we've been doing it at the church for a couple of years now, and it's gone through a couple of different versions, but it seems to still be hanging in there a little bit. So,
awesome. Dark Horse for song of the night. I'm acting like there's some sort of like a poll,
like a tribute.
You're listening
to this link to vote
to Wayne Stewart on Live from the Path.
It's clear now who we were meant to be, living in the light of this love, this calling to holy surrendering, living in the light of this love. Father, we had forgotten that we are all your sons and daughters, made for you and one another. But then you sent the one to show us how far we'd run from what you spoke into the heart of all who come from you. It's clear now we were meant to be, living in the light of this love, this calling to holy surrendering, living in the light of this love.
perfect looking glass so we can see all that we were shaped to be. This picture completed as his life depleted, all for love, all for us, everything placed at the cross. It's clear now who we were meant to be, living in the light of this love, this calling to holy surrendering, living in the light of this love. Living in the light of this love, living in the light. We are living in the light, living in the light of this love. It's clear now who we were meant to be, living in the light, living in the light of this love, this calling to holy surrendering, living in the light of this love. It's clear now who we were meant to be, living in the light of this love, this calling to holy surrendering, living in the light of this love.
That's got some pip.
I really love that the line in there about being called to holy surrendering. Like, it just reminds me of that verse, like, the Son of Man did not come to be served, or did not come to serve, but to be served, give his life as a ransom for many. That's, like, just kind of been drilled into my brain the past, like, 4 years in college about, like, if Christ was and is a servant, like, how much more should we be if we're, like, trying to follow Christ? I don't know. I like that song a lot.
Yeah, man. I do really enjoy that song. So Wayne, if someone wants to pick up that book, where can they get it at?
They can get it at Amazon.
Okay.
So they can get it at two places. They can get it at Amazon directly if they just search for my name and search for the title of the book. And then there's also a Create Space link that goes directly there as well. And
could we give them your address and they could just come to your door?
Yeah, but usually people on the show say mom's trunk. So, I mean, Wayne's got to step up on the world.
Yeah.
Wait,
back,
now, are there
back
other,
of the car, right?
Are there other Wayne Stewarts on Amazon, though, Wayne?
You know, there are. Yeah, there's a couple of other dudes.
Here's the deal. I'm going to post that business. If you're listening to the show, I'll hook up on our Facebook page or on our website, and I will I'll take care of that. I'll post a link so that you can pick that up directly or on the Twitter.
There's
we use the Twitter.
There's also a link off my Facebook page.
Oh, cool.
There pretty recently, too.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Hook up with Wayne's Facebook page. He looks like the guy that's on the screen right now. If you're listening to the radio, he's a very handsome man.
Wayne, are you on the Twitter?
I'm not.
Oh. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, man. That's it. Sorry.
We'll still talk to you.
The newfangled technology.
Yeah. I had no idea how to use Twitter, but like we kept running into the problem where Facebook restricts how many people can see your posts. And so, without paying for it, if you're like an organization. And so, we ended up having to, I'm gonna have to change my camera shut, aren't I? I can't trust Mike sitting behind me. So we ended up using Twitter because like everybody sees everything you post. So anyway.
Do you guys live tweet this whole thing?
Every once in a while, I'll do it while the show's going on.
Oh, my goodness.
I try not to do it when you guys are in here because I have a hard time paying attention to the soundboard as I'm supposed to anyway. I had poor Wayne muted half the first song because I'm not paying attention. Live tweeting only gets me into trouble. Yeah. Although, Mike and I live tweet. What was it, the Grammys?
It was Grammys.
We tried to live tweet the Grammys.
Nice.
Because here's the deal, because John Acuff did it. And we thought, yeah, we can do it. John Acuff's funny. We're funny. Take that, John. Turns out John Acuff is popular for a reason. We are not. It was a disaster.
It was kind of a disaster.
Didn't we have a retweet?
Yeah, somebody. You know what it was? It was the one you guys make fun of me for. I tweeted something about Andre Riau. You know the violin guy that's always does like the end of the year stuff, long hair.
Yeah.
So anyway, I tweeted something like one of the guitar players looked like him. So I tweeted something like that, and Mike's like, "Seriously, Andre Riau?"
Yeah. Here's the deal. You just had to describe him in like 300 characters, which means no one got the joke.
Hey, a guy who loves Andre Riau found that tweet and favorited it. So take that.
That's the thing about like live tweeting. It gets so discouraging, like 50 tweets in and no one's responding to you.
No one cares.
Just like, do I keep going for the next 3 hours? Or
do you
brother.
So Jake, do you have experience live tweeting?
I do. Yeah. Yeah.
So tell me about it.
So live tweeting is this very strange beast where it's like you're pretending to be in a room full of people who love you,
right?
And who are hanging on to every word that you're saying.
This is an excellent description of it.
But it's more like you're in a room full of people who are like really indifferent to you and will only pay attention to you if you're super clever.
Yeah.
And you realize, like I said, like 50 tweets in, you just start thinking like, man, I am not smart. I am not clever.
Dang it.
This isn't working.
I am the pleated khakis of the room.
I'm so alone.
It's true. It's true. You start getting real experimental with your hashtags. Like, maybe if I do it this way, people will pay attention to me.
Maybe if I hashtag Bill Clinton. Anything. I just need something.
I would throw in random hashtags that have nothing to do with what I'm doing just to see if someone searches like goats so that they get to my tweets just to see if I can get a little bit more popularity.
Here's the deal, Boobie. You're not thinking that through. A guy that is specifically looking for hashtags of goats and comes upon your non-relevant tweet is going to be pissed.
Yeah, I know. I know. But that might be that guy getting that kind of traffic and retweeting my thing and going, hey, man, check out this guy's tweet that has nothing to do with hashtag goats. It made me upset. And then all the hashtag goat dudes are just like, heck yeah, man, that guy has nothing to do with goats. Let's totally put his stuff on blast.
Yeah, because that's how the internet works. Oh, this makes me upset.
I'm sorry, are we on the radio right now? On the internet? Yeah. That is how the internet radio works.
I'm really curious now to see if there's some sort of clandestine group of people on Twitter using the hashtag goats.
Hashtag,
like,
hashtag
what are
goats
they
forever.
About right now?
It's goats, the number four, and then ever.
Okay, here's what we do this week. But everything we tweet out, I'll add the hashtag who tweets goats.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll see what goes on in
life. Who tweets goats?
Okay.
Who all does right. it? I don't know.
It might be me.
I don't know.
Probably
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm going to be the only dude who brings up the I tweet goats hashtag.
Here's the deal. There's some guy in Eastern Europe. I mean, who's like almost Russia, but he's.
I
like,
love goats.
He's like
his last name is probably goats.
Well, like goats mean something different in Russian.
I'm looking for family members. What do you say?
We're hijacking this hashtag.
Who is this Buva?
Who is this John Buva? I.
He'd love from a grandma. Grandma Goats.
This keeps going on about arrogant Americans on Twitter.
Hashtag Sergey Goats.
They have no business here.
What are pleated kikis?
Has nothing to do with goats.
Yeah, this is going to work.
we're going to become an overnight internet sensation just because of hashtag goats.
Yeah, I tell you what, the Jesus content ain't doing it.
Hey, man, we got to bring it in with random
hashtags.
We got to
do it with goats.
Hashtag Lindsay Lohan question mark?
And people are like, putting us in the
going Lindsay Lohan.
This is how the church got in this event, Theo. We're going to have to go through Wayne's class after this goats thing takes off. We don't know community, Wayne. All right.
That's true. We're trying to steal the goat community.
The random sect of goats people from Eastern Europe.
All right. Buy Wayne's book, I guess.
What's it? It's about goats?
Yeah. Hopefully it's
hashtag goats.
It comes in Russian, I hope.
The book is called goats. Hashtag goats, and it's all in Russian.
That's true.
We're going to put out a relevant book next year called Hashtag Goats, What Happened to the Modern Church?
All right, you're listening to Live from the Path. We're in studio with Wayne Stewart and Chris Akers. Hey, make sure you check out Wayne's book. All joking aside, like, I think this is something in ministry that I completely agree with, that we are we're worshiping too small. And I think I think Wayne brings a unique perspective into helping us understand how we reorient how we think about worship to not be in that space. Which I think regardless of where you're at, you know, has to tug at you a little bit, kind of stretch your boundaries of how we think about a relationship with God, what that looks like, community, and also how that translates to worship. So I'm excited for the book, and it's staring at me. It's saying, read me, Ben, right now. But I can't get around to that.
We're Now's not the time.
We're trying to do an internet radio program before Jake goes east and or west and fires one up. He seems like he's got a good head on his shoulder for that type of thing.
Yeah, no doubt.
Taking over the West Coast.
It's all right. It's not our people anyway.
It's not your turf.
We got stuck in Nebraska. We can't seem to get out.
All right, hey man, let's keep the music rolling. Chris Akers, you got another one on the docket. What do you got?
I got a song called Unstoppable. It's the song that I'm going to be playing for the next hour. You guys can't stop it. And no, it's about the unstoppable love.
It's like a Disney ride is what it is.
I want to get off.
So tell me a little bit about it.
So it's based on a scripture out of Romans. And you'll recognize the word, but the chorus is neither height nor depth. Love's unstoppable. Your love is unstoppable. Neither life nor death. I'm convinced. And that's the bridge comes in. I'm convinced nothing can deny the one who tasted death to make me alive. So, very much the confidence that we can have in our life with Christ is what this song is about, and his unstoppable love.
Awesome. So, this is Unstoppable. You're listening to Chris Akers on Live from the Path.
Prevail when I am poured out. You will prevail this season of doubt. My soul is claimed. You will prevail these thorns in my flesh. You will prevail my shadow of death. My soul is claimed in Jesus' name. 'Cause neither height nor depth, love's unstoppable. Your love's unstoppable. And neither life nor death, love's unstoppable. Your love's unstoppable. Your love's unstoppable. Your love's unstoppable. You will prevail these bones in the dirt. Tear down the veil and conquer the curse. My soul is claimed in Jesus' name. 'Cause neither height nor depth, love's unstoppable. Your love's unstoppable. Neither life nor death, love's unstoppable. Your love's unstoppable. Oh, neither height nor depth, love's unstoppable. Your love's unstoppable. Oh, neither life nor death, love's unstoppable. Your love's unstoppable. Oh, I am convinced nothing can deny the one who tasted death to make me alive. I am convinced nothing can deny the one who tasted death to make me alive. No one who tasted death to make me alive.
death to make me alive.
Yeah. All right, man.
Here's the deal. It's somewhat awkward after the good tune like that because we really want to clap, but Ben has to give us a controlled go ahead and clap because we have to wait an X number of seconds after the tune's done so we can cut it, right? And so everyone's like, I love it. Hey, Ben, can we clap now?
Is it time to be happy yet?
Where's your guy in the back holding up the sign with the applause?
We had to fire him due to low turnout.
Yeah. He kept holding up things like hashtag goat.
Everyone was confused.
Everybody was confused.
He was too magnanimous for his own britches. We had to get rid of that guy. Oh, man. Hey, that's Chris Akers. Chris, if people want to learn more about you and your music and kind of keep up with you, what do you recommend? Where do they go?
There's two places. You can either find me on Facebook as the artist Chris Akers. Well, there's a lot of places. There's too many places. I got to simplify. But there's a Facebook page called Chris Akers. Or if you specifically want to hear that song, the project my fiance and I are doing is called Dauntless Music. I just wanted to step into the realm of writing blatant worship music and just being fearless about it. So I decided to call it Dauntless Music. So there's only one song posted on it. That's at Reverb Nation, Dauntless Music. And so that's where you can find this song.
Hey, man, can we get you and your lady in together? Because that sounds awesome.
Man, I would love that. I think that would take some convincing.
Okay.
We should call her out right now.
I would love that.
Tell her nobody listens to the show.
Nobody.
Nobody's listening anyway.
Nobody's listening to the show. Yeah. We'll keep Mike under wraps. He won't be creepy or weird or anything like that.
There's no truth in that at all. I will be my regular self.
We're very popular in the Slovakia. Right
here, Slovakia. There's a high...
I'll be the random bouncer that just sits on this side, and I won't let him admission over here.
So. I appreciate that.
All right, well,
I got you.
See what you can do. Because that sounds a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. All right, man. Here, what time is it? What do we got time for? All right, here. Let's see if we can hit these real quick. And actually, Buva, let's do your Pope style. What do you got? What's your Pope style?
All right, so once again, the premise for the Pope style is that I was actually accidentally mistaken as the Pope. Wow. As the Pope by someone trying to be mean to me. They told a bunch of people, hey, man, go over to Buva's place. I think that guy might be the Pope. And he's got a little nugget of wisdom for you. So I have 50,000 people in front of my lawn right now, and I need to kick them out by giving them a nugget of wisdom. So here it is. So this week I was given a seriously awesome opportunity from God when it comes to going to a new position in the company that I'm in, and complete huge step from what I'm actually used to doing, completely something different than what I do right now. I'm completely underqualified for the position, being blatantly honest about that, but it's something that I'm really passionate about and I want to do it. And so I talked to my boss about it and I decided to go for it. And my initial thought was, you know, I'm going to do everything I can in my power to show up and show off. And I'm going to show off at how great I am. And I'm going to show off at how awesome I am at being able to either learn about this stuff or be able to do the position right now. And about 20 minutes into trying to figure out what that looked like, I realized that doesn't look like anything at all because that's not true. I'm the wrong person for this position. I should not be doing it. I don't have the education to do it. I do not have the work experience. I'm not in the right place. Even the position's in Texas, and I don't want to relocate. So I was going to try and convince them to let me do it here in Des Moines.
Right.
So I switched it on myself because I thought to myself, who am I glorifying for this? I'm glorifying me. I keep going, how does Buva get something out of this? How does Buva show up on top of this and get this position and show everybody how awesome I am and how great I am? And like I said, about 20, 25 minutes into that, I realized, shut up. Shut your stupid mouth, Troy. Or Buva, excuse me. This is for God. This is an opportunity that has been, you know, shown itself to glorify God. And whether that be in my life, whether that be someone else seeing that from the rafters or whatever it is, let it be about God. Let it be about His glory and how amazing He is. And I haven't gotten the position yet, or I don't know what's going on with that. That's not the glory. The glory is the fact that I have so much peace about it. It's crazy. I'm not worried about this position at all. People have just been like, you know, how'd it go? How'd the interviews go? I had one today, and I've told people a couple people about what happened. But the peace that God has given me through this situation is crazy, because what I threw it out at is, if God wants me to have this position, I'm going to. It doesn't matter how underqualified I am. It doesn't matter how random the circumstances are. If it's on His heart to do it, it's going to happen. And then the other thing I learned through this was not only glorifying him, but also from the perspective of where is my will at in comparison to his? Of course I want this position. I wouldn't have gone for it in the first place. Of course I want to go there, to do the position, whether that be in Texas or whether that be here. That's what's on my heart. But my prayer life in this situation has strengthened itself so much because it's taken itself from God, this is what I want to do at first, to now I'm just saying, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be in this situation? How do you want to be able to show off through this entire scenario? And it's turned itself from me being comfortable to being able to go, God, you know my heart and you know what I want. And of course, I'm going to say what that is, but ultimately, I want to know what you want, and I want that to be glorified, and I want that to be shown to everyone, because your will is the one that should be done and not mine. And I've never prayed that earnestly before. I've always prayed, yeah, God, your will, not mine, of course, but if you want to, if you could throw in a couple things for me, I'd really appreciate it. But these last couple weeks, it's just been like, forget me. Forget who I am. This is completely about you. And if I'm not glorifying through you or glorifying you through this, I don't want it to happen. So if I can give you any kind of nugget of wisdom for what you're going to go out and do the rest of the week or what you're going to go out to do the rest of your life, it's great to have goals and it's great to have things that you want to do. But ultimately, if you are doing something for your glory, you are in the wrong place.
Amen.
Get out of the spotlight because you are not the one to be glorified. Let God be glorified and let you bask in that. Yeah. And then that will get you joy and that will get you into a place where God has you being. And that is where serious, amazing, life-changing things happen, is where God has you, not where you want to be. Glorify God through your actions. Glorify God through your situations and every single thing, and the right thing will turn itself up and the right thing will happen, and then your heart can align to that rather than God's will align to yours.
Yeah.
Get off the lawn.
Get off my lawn.
All right, Pope Buva. Here's like a running theme, right? Like if you can position your life where you are serving God above yourself, where you are loving people above yourself, that's where joy happens. And
right.
Like the thing is that we have to fight for that perspective because we are a little bit conditioned to believe otherwise. And there's part of our nature that wants to, that says, if I seek the things that I want. But the truth is, it's in the flip, right? God's, Jesus' kingdom isn't upside down. Ours is upside down. Jesus is right side up. He's got the love thing, right? And if we can pursue that thing correctly, I think like that's where peace is found. It's where joy is defined by what God provides, is found at. I love it, Buva. All right. Get off the lawn. Pope Buva speaks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Leave me.
Be gone.
Be gone, crowd.
All right. Shoot. We're running upon a break here. Here's what we're going to have to do. If you're listening on the Truth Network, 99.3 FM, we're going to have to let you go. Here's what I want you to do. I need you to hook up on the various ways of which Wayne and Chris have thrown out there. Pick up Wayne's book. You can find him on Facebook. I'm going to read that along with you. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read that book, and I'm going to try to start a conversation with you guys about it, because I think this is something that I would like to pursue more. And so heads up on the Facebook and the Twitter. Let's see if we can we'll talk about that a little bit as we read through it together. Also, hook up with Chris. Go to the Reverb Nation. You can find him on Facebook as well. And then Dauntless Music, you can check that out. We're trying to make that happen. Chris, look at me like, you know that ain't going to happen. But I get to say what I want because it's the internet radio.
It's your show.
So we're going to do those things. Listen, if you want to catch us during the week, go to lifeandpath.org. I'm going to get these musical clips up, hopefully this week, and you can check those out, share those around. Make sure you watch the whole show and dig on what these guys are saying. Always awesome to have them in studio. So if you guys are listening to the podcast, we'll be right back with you. If you're on KTA, like I said, we got to let you go. Look, stay faithful means God will handle the ends. You're listening to Life from the Path.
Looks back at the crowd, looks down at his hands and says, I am difference maker.
Can you move that, John? Can you move that? I don't know. I'm just looking around trying to buy you some time. I cannot have Mike behind me.
Difference maker.
Yes. I could go for Mike behind you.
I was rocking it.
No, you can't.
I'm really digging that.
Put me back in, man. Hey, no, I don't even get a primary shot.
We've got
the microphone does.
We've got Herrick's legs walking around every once in a while. And
I'm not moving.
Sinking in the back.
I'm not moving, Ben. Hello, I'm Ben.
Can we get more shots of Mike changing light bulbs?
This is not good.
Hey,
seriously, that was a clutch move. That was solid.
I only have one job at this studio.
Oh yeah,
you were gonna incorporate that into.
I was gonna say I'd catch him and go, and this is how the Lord catches us.
We're
falling, and he just knows we're about to hit rock bottom. Ah,
and then we're good.
I thought he carried me. I read Footprints.
Walk you down to the one where
he leads me by still wanting. What about Dirty City Water? Does he lead me there?
I can lead you over a bridge. That's what I've got.
There's only one set of footprints because sand people walk single file.
That's awesome.
Hey, listen, well, we got 2 seconds. Bash on the Farm's coming up June 19th and 20th at Heritage Park in Forest City. There is a slew of bands that we know that are going to be there, and I have a list of them, but I got sidetracked on that That sand people conversation. but anyway, there's a list of bands that have they're just awesome bands anyway. And then we've had a lot of the bands that are going to be there have been on this show. It looks like Willett. We've met Willett. Willett is the man. If you guys ever been to like the what is it where they get you to adopt a water baby? Or, you know, you provide water for a village.
Adopt a water baby?
Adopt a water baby. Mike, that's like a mermaid.
Mike. What kind of weird fantasy thing is this?
What? Mike, you just pulled what I would call a Dan Hudson.
You can adopt a water baby or a fire baby.
But here's the deal.
An earth baby.
You give money and then you provide water to a baby. To water to a village.
Water baby would be the wrong way to say that.
Where something comes out your face and it's inadvertently very offensive, but you did not intend it to be.
Okay, that's not what I said.
That's a Dan Hudson.
Hashtag goats, hashtag water baby.
Here's the deal. If I'm going to say this real quick, apart from my foot and mouth conversation I've created, but I've met Jeremy Willett, and he's just a straight up honest, Jesus loving dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a solid guy. He loves Jesus, and he's adopting from Ethiopia, which is the same country that we're adopting from. And so I feel like I have a lot in common with this fella, apart from how great he is and how non foot in the mouth he is. But anyway, if you get a chance to see Jeremy Willett with the band Willett at Bash on the Farm, it's going to be awesome. Echo's going to be there. He's been on the show the last couple months. He's an awesome friend of the show. Also, Fight the Fade's going to be there. We had a show with Fight the Fade up in Ames there a while back. As College Break, we met Chris Doerr. We've met Breaking Adam will be there. True Serva, he was the original interview guy with the haircut conversation.
No. That was the Corinth. Corinth D was the haircut man.
No,
yeah, we didn't actually hook up with True Serva.
Well, we should have, because he would have been excellent foot and mouth number two. And Mike Sabota will be here. Anyway, To Be a Man will be there. They were just on the show here last week. They came in for a special interview last Sunday, and we talked to them for a while. And Jeff Arendelle from the Jeff Arendelle Band. The whole band's going to be there, and Arendelle's a pretty solid cat. We run into him quite a bit. So go out to the Bash on the Farm. It's June 19th and 20th, Heritage Park in Forest City. It's free, man. It's 2 days of free Jesus-loving music. So you can go there and just hang out, and you can camp, and there's food and whatever. They're always a pretty good time. So, if you got nothing going on that weekend, you should head out and check that out. Also, while I'm at it, Kevin Lindgren, a good fan of the show, put out a new album called My Words, and now it's streaming on his Bandcamp site.
Yeah.
So it streams at kevinlindgren.bandcamp.com. The album's called My Words. We haven't had Lindgren in here in a while. He's been busy doing all kinds of great stuff, and so we just haven't had a chance to have him in, but go check that out. He puts out solid music. He's a really cool guy to get to know, and he's a Jesus man, so definitely worth your time to go check out on his Bandcamp site.
Yeah, very cool. We'll try to get some of that stuff posted too, just as reference for you, so that people can check out what we're digging on. We're digging on that kind of stuff. We might even make it out to Bash. We'll see. I think we might have a couple conflicts here, but we're going to try to make it out to that and try to hook up with some of those bands. There's just a lot of good folks out there doing God's work in pretty cool and unique ways. And so, hey, speaking of which, so you guys have recently been to Haiti, right?
Yeah, we had one of our mission teams over spring break head to a mission partner in Haiti that we've been sort of developing a relationship and work with for the last 4 or 5 years now.
So what exactly are you doing there in Haiti?
Our teams are going in basically for a couple of reasons. One is to just try and serve and care for and encourage the mission partners there as best we can while we're there. Secondarily, to get exposure to what God's doing there, and just incredible, amazing stuff that's going on there. Literally a privilege to be in the middle of it for a week and a half. It was almost a little mind-boggling to see what God has done in 10 years in this place. So combination of those things, you know, and it was a youth trip. So I was one of the adult leaders, went with juniors. So my youngest daughter, junior in high school, went along on the trip, and it was her first international mission trip exposure. And so it was great as sort of dad and daughter to do that.
Yeah,
as well.
That's cool. That's a cool experience to share. Very cool. So, like, is that a long term commitment with that particular organization?
It's been developing. So, there's a great family in our church that came upon this connection 6 years ago or so, and they started just going on their own. I mean, literally, they just were like, "Hey, instead of Christmas this year, how about we go to Haiti?"
Uh-huh.
You know, and all their kids were like, "We'd love to," and they went and served sacrificially. Loved on these folks, really, really got connected with them, and then came back and they started spreading it to other folks, you know. And Sweet. So we're kind of in the process of seeing whether that becomes a long-term commitment and relationship. But boy, honestly, you know, just being there, I go, if you wanna invest some resources in a place where things are really happening, I just walked away going, this was very worth it. So
very cool, yeah. Awesome. Chris, did you go on that?
I was not on that trip.
Okay.
It's been a while since the last trip I was on was Kazakhstan a couple years back. So
Kazakhstan.
But hoping in the next couple years to make my way down there.
Yeah. Cool, man. Yeah. Cool. There's a lot of cool experiences and cool. It's pretty neat to be part of to have yourself reoriented a little bit. To see what's going on, even I took like I had a work trip where I was in the Philippines for a while, mm-hmm. and even just like I just walked down the street and picked a church, and just you know it just was with those guys for like 6 weeks, and even be in the middle of worship in a with another culture. It's just cool. It's cool to be surrounded by that. And there was a part the first Sunday that was there that I was there that I mean it brought a tear to my eye, to be honest with you, because like it was very cool to feel so much at home so far away, right? Yeah. Like. They were singing. So I recognize the songs. I get the concept. Mm. Like, I could have walked the sermon. Like, Jesus is Jesus. And so, you know, yeah. if Jesus shows up on the corner at a hotel in the Philippines,
bumper sticker,
it's the same Jesus that shows up somewhere else, right? And so, like, I took a bunch of notes and, like, it was just very cool because, like, I was surrounded by family. I was surrounded by community, even though I was so far away and had no connection at all. And I just kind of started walking around and thought, you know, I don't know of any churches. It's 97% Catholic. So, like, I mean, the odds are I was going to run into a Catholic church. And there was, like, a straight-up Protestant church hanging down the street from where I was at. It was just a really cool experience. And not that if I walked into the Catholic church, it wouldn't have been that way. But, like, the vibe and stuff was basically what I was familiar with, right? So mm-hmm. it was really cool. It was just really cool to be reoriented in some of that way. Mm-hmm. And that was you know, a pretty normal-looking environment compared to what I'm used to. And then even if you look beyond that into to some countries where like that infrastructure just isn't the same, it does that in all the more like familiar and unfamiliar. It's a pretty cool deal.
Yeah, you see people walking with Jesus with not any of the structure,
right,
or infrastructure or resources that we have here, and you go, yeah, this is because he changed their life, right? And this is because the gospel is going forward to the ends of the earth. It is what he said, right? You know,
yep.
from Pentecost forward, this expansion and real lives really changed. Like, you know, in Haiti, we walked into this village where 10 years ago, you know, like 14 witch doctors ruled the entire place, literally, you know, causing fear everywhere they went and holding people, you know, hostage by that fear. 10 years later, they're all gone, or the majority of them have come to faith. You know, and the ones who left basically sized it up as Jesus is more powerful than the spirits that I deal with, and so my gig is done.
Yeah, right?
And so you've got, you know, they've got like 8 feeding centers going on every day. They've got an undergraduate college now that trains med school and theology and teachers in the country and agriculture, and then they've got a school for 500 kids. These kids are coming hours over the mountains by foot to come to this school to get this great education. So things are changing for them, yep. but it's such a holistic approach. I mean, they're going after all the felt needs, all the relational needs, and then they're going after the real deep spiritual need.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. That is beautiful.
It's kind of crazy. Just as we're talking about this, one of my friends from Indonesia, I was there last summer, just sent me a friend request on Facebook and said, "Hey Jacob, how are you doing?" And I was just bringing back all these memories of like exactly what you guys are saying. Like Jesus is Jesus wherever you go, and it's so cool to like step into this other country and you're like, all right, I don't know the language, the food here is cool, but it's a little bit weird too.
Yep,
it's like just this totally foreign experience. But you know, you see people who are Christians, and you're like, all right, brothers and sisters in Christ,
yep.
people of peace. Like I know that I can be with these people and sort of, you know. Not necessarily just like be safe and do nothing, but it's like, I know these are the people that I need to be around right mm-hmm. now because these are just oh, fellow nice. Believers, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's one of the things, and I started the conversation with my wife once, kind of after coming back from the Philippines, and saying that was something that I'd like to be able to do with her, is to do something, not because we're bringing anything to a culture, but because they have a lot to show me. Mm-hmm. And I think my wife is hesitant, but like I think it really is something that I'd like to be able to do with both my wife and my kids. Again, so that I think this sounds terrible. I hate to take from that, but to be honest with you, I think there's some of that is it's just more grounded than some of the stuff that perhaps that we've been exposed to. And you're right, some of the stuff that we put on kind of the peripherals of our belief system in the United States, like things that you don't expect to see. We've been talking about this a lot, actually, with Jesus willing to interact with people in dreams and stuff. And it's just something that we simply won't, you know, we don't really accept very easily. We're hesitant on those types of things. And it's Herrick has told a few stories where you've seen some interactions like that. They're just more open to that in other cultures. And you see things that we want to write off and say, well, that was first century, you know, that the Holy Spirit doesn't do that anymore. Like, I beg to differ, sir. And so, I don't know. It's just interesting to let those things continue to reorient how we understand God. Like, we've even boxed him in a little bit, even when sometimes we feel like we haven't. And so it's a cool experience. I'd certainly encourage you to be a part of that if you ever get the opportunity to do so. All right, let's keep rocking with the tunes. Wayne, you got another song on the docket. What do you got?
Yeah, it's a tune is called Hold On. And, you know, again, this came out of a season of just sort of realizing again that the bottom line of faith oftentimes is just not giving up, right? The walk of faith is just taking one more step forward and saying, I still believe that you are who you said you were. And even though everything around me may not be measuring up in my circumstances to that, I'm going to hold on. But the key to holding on is God reaching in at those moments, right, and giving us his presence, his assurance, truth of who he is, his nature,
right,
all those kind of things, right? So this is sort of a cry of, hey, God, if you'll meet me in the middle of this stuff, what I'll do is hold on.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, this is Wayne Stewart with Hold On. You're listening to Live from the Path.
Meet me in my weakness, find me in my shame, or call me into mercy and lead me home again. Clear my feeble thinking, and in your love and power set my steps toward glory, even in this hour. And I will hold on, I will hold on, low at your feet, then into your arms, I will hold on. And mark this survey, branded by your love, mercy's new position, scarlet's purchased one. We'll take these scars of sin, death, worn upon my sleeve, and make my mark forgiveness clear for all to see. And I will hold on, I will hold on, low at your feet, then into your arms, I will hold on, I will hold on, low at your feet, then into your arms, I will hold on. Yeah, help me hold on, help me hold on. In the truth of who you are, in the light of what you've done, in the depths of who I am, in the cross and the victory won, in the truth of who you are, in the light of what you've done, in the depths of who I am, in the cross and the victory won, and I will hold on. I will hold on, low at your feet, then into your arms. I will hold on, I will hold on, low at your feet, then into your arms. Lift up my head and say that I'm yours, O Lord. Speak to my heart, remind me I'm yours, and I will hold on. Yeah, I will hold on.
Yeah. Right. So, hey, Wayne, so can people, like, do you have, like, CDs and stuff that people can pick up?
Reverb Nation site that they can go grab some stuff at. So there's an EP last fall that's up there that's kind of the most current stuff. Hold On is on there, as well as a couple more.
Cool.
And then a few older ones on there. So.
Ben, what's the name of that song that of Wayne's that I really like?
78.
Yeah, 78. That's one of my favorites, Wayne.
Is that one on there?
That one is not on there. That one, actually, I played it here 4 years ago, and then I haven't played it since.
Oh, man.
Hey, great comment, Mike.
Bring that one back. Here's the thing. Here's what he's saying. Is the stuff that Wayne goes, it wasn't that great, it's still great. It's one of my favorites.
Well, I remember you guys doing great group vocals on that one in the studio.
Oh, man, yeah, that was fun.
That was a sweet
moment. That's when our mute button used to work.
That was a sweet moment.
It was good times.
Ah, cool. Well, boy. Boy, I really dig on that song. And so you go to ReverbNation.com and take a look for Wayne Stewart. And I'll post a link for that, too. Boy, it's going to be Link Fest this week.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But make sure you pick that up. Now, it's just on Reverb Nation, right? Like Amazon, iTunes, no go?
Yep. Just Reverb Nation.
Just Reverb Nation. All right.
Are you on Spotify at all?
No.
Okay.
Are you now, Wayne, are you artistically against Spotify?
No, I love Spotify.
Mm, okay.
There is a Wayne Stewart, though, who is a great sort of jazz artist from Chicago who's on Spotify.
He dominates Spotify.
Yeah. You sure that's not you?
Yeah, so go grab it.
Yeah, I'm friends with him on Facebook by accident.
Is it like a Duke Silver situation where it really is you, but you're not telling anybody?
There's a very talented, handsome Wayne Stewart in Chicago. Looks very much like me.
It's like hiding in plain sight, just using your real name, but saying it's a different guy. Yeah,
I can't say again how handsome he really is.
If I could get a little coattail action from that guy, that'd be sweet.
I was going to say hashtag goats, man.
Yeah. He put out a song called 78 I really enjoy.
Hasn't played in a couple years, but it was really good.
Real solid.
All right, you've been listening to Life from the Path. Make sure you check out both Chris and Wayne's stuff. Always awesome to have them in the studio. Very excited. Now if they're in the area, if they're in the kind of the KTI listening area, current KTI listening area, where could they go to check out Christ Community Church? Where's the? You said that it's kind of in the north part of town.
Yeah, it's like a mile and a half northwest of sort of the northern edge of Ames.
Okay,
and easy to get to, and there's great stuff going on, man. It's a wonderful season to be there. So, and if you do happen to come by on a Sunday, say hi to us, man. We'd love to say hi.
Yeah.
Usually, if you're really looking for it and you just happen to bump into anybody random in Ames, ask them where the Plex is. Most people know where the Plex is.
Okay.
So,
Buva.
I don't currently know where the Plex is.
That's north of Ames. You're not welcome in Ames.
I've heard. Yeah. I've heard. Yeah.
But everybody knows where the Plex is.
Well, I'm not part of everybody. I'm just Boova. Hey, man, I talked about not glorifying myself like 20 minutes ago, guys. Seriously, let me stay non-egotistical for maybe an hour. Like, that's all I'm asking. I have plenty enough trouble keeping myself down. You guys are like, Boova, you're part of everybody. Why don't you know something everybody else knows?
Boova, you're cool. Come on, There's a reason.
No. Low. At your feet. Low at your feet.
But Lord, can't I just be everybody?
Lord, can't Boova be glorified? Hey, man, that is straight up what I've asked plenty of times. That is where that Pope style comes from, is the fact that I'm just like, hey, man, God, let me be glorified. Oh, crap. Let both of us be glorified? Can I get some?
Maybe not. I don't know. 70-30? Yeah, exactly.
like 78%? Maybe. Let God get the glory.
All right, you've been listening to Live from the Path. Shoot, so here's what I want to do. Let's do a couple Dear Live from the Path, and then I want to end the show on a high note after we ruin it. And Jake, hold on. Have we introduced ourselves properly to Jake?
Just this random guy that's maybe, here.
Okay, so really. Jake Stewart, tell
me. You in?
Hey, how you guys doing?
That's Jake right there in the middle. If you're watching on the online. So Jake, tell me a little bit about yourself. What are you doing with your life?
I'm a recent college grad as of, what, like 3 days ago on Saturday?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Something like that. I graduated from the University of Northern Iowa. Go Panthers. Ooh, did I just harsh the mood in here?
Yeah, this got wrong room. Really, yeah, that response was nothing.
Hey, that was bad.
Jake, that's not because people don't enjoy the Panthers. It's because nobody graduated.
True. Hey, true.
No, I had zero school spirit when I was in. I didn't go to any of the games. I didn't do homecoming stuff. It was bad. But so I graduated from there. Right now I'm just in Iowa. I'm going to be in Iowa for the rest of the summer. And then around August, I am going on staff with the Navigators, who are a just sort of campus ministry organization, been around for a long time, 80 years or something. So I'm moving out to Corvallis, Oregon to become part of the Oregon State Navigators. And me and this guy...
Try saying go Beavers.
Go Ducks? Oh. Oh, I screwed it up, didn't I?
Oh, man. Real close.
Go Beavers. Man, I'm just not killing it on the college game right now, am I?
Wrong crowd.
but I'm going to be moving out to Corvallis, and me and this guy Kyle Nelson are basically planting a ministry there. There's no real Navigator presence at OSU, and Corvallis is actually in the least religious county in the United States of America. 25% of people who live there claim any religion. They can tick any of the boxes on the survey. You know, that's not like 25% Christian. That's 25% believe in anything.
Okay.
At all. So we are really diving into kind of a very intense area, a very unreached area. I'm really excited about it.
So Jake, are they anti-box or just free rangers who don't claim anything at all?
A lot of them are just free rangers. Okay. The Northwest is different from other parts of the country in that. You think about like the Northeast, like New York, places like that, very sort of post-Christian. They sort of have this idea like, we did that and it wasn't for us, so we're moving on. Yeah. Northwest never really was saturated with the gospel at all. Growing up there and just sort of looking back, I realized that organized religion never really made its way up into the Northwest. And so it's kind of this weird foreign idea for people. So it presents its own set of challenges. But I am more willing to go into that sort of area than people who are cynical and over it, you know, because people up in the Northwest, they're very spiritual,
right?
I guess you could say they're very open to having these kinds of conversations, more so than I think in other parts of the country.
Gotcha. Okay, that sounds pretty cool then.
Yeah.
All right. So, how can people help on this path of yours that you're going through? Is it something that people can assist you in any way?
Yeah, absolutely. Over the summer, I am going to be looking for people to join with me and partner with me in this ministry. And there's really two ways you can do that, and I would like for people to be doing both of them. But that's through just prayer and finances. I have to raise my own salary. Navigators are a nonprofit. And so I would really love to find people who say, look, we like this vision for the Northwest. We really want to see good things happen there. So we're willing to give in prayer or give in financial means. And so if you are at all interested in that kind of thing, the Navigators have a website where you can give to their staff members who are all across the USA and I think all across the globe too. So I'm a very recent hire for this group, so I don't know if my page has been set up yet, but eventually there will be a page on the Navigator website where you can just learn a little bit about what I'm doing and give if you feel like God is moving you to give. So
sweet. So here's what we'll do. If that's not live now, we'll send once it is, we'll get a link out to everybody so you guys have that as a reference. And then if that's something you want to be able to give towards, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And here's what I don't want you to do. And you've heard me say this before, people who are listening, is that I don't want you just to pray on that, because a lot of times when you pray on it, you're really saying, God, send someone else to do something. I want you to very much consider that God may have laid something on your heart to pray about that he actually wants you to contribute to. Okay? It very well could be the truth. In fact, it most likely is. So if that's something you're going to be praying about, consider that God actually might have you be part of that solution as well. So we will get that. That's across the board. It's not just for Jake. It's just in general. Don't find yourself like half praying that God would move somebody else. Be open to the opportunity that he might be glorified by you, you know, actually doing the things that you're praying about. All right, so let's do a couple of Dear Lives from the Past, and then we will end the show out with the musical stylings of soon-to-be West Coasted Jake Stewart.
All right.
All right, good. Mike, what do you got?
Dear Life from the Path?
Holy cats, what do you,
Mike, do you want me to do this?
No. How dare you try to take me off my stool?
You sound like a 13-year-old girl.
You humble yourself. Dear Life from the Path, I represented my daughter Stacy and her husband as their real estate agent. When any of my children purchase a home, I waive my commission. That's nice.
Okay.
My daughter knew I had been trying to finance a trip to South America for my husband so we could complete his bucket list. She gave me a cruise on one of the most expensive cruise lines and airfare to South America as a gift for helping with their home purchase. After my husband reviewed the itinerary, he said it wasn't the trip he had in mind and wanted to know if my daughter could change it. I was embarrassed to ask her after receiving such a gracious gift. He became indignant and said if she really wanted to give him something he wanted, she wouldn't mind changing the trip. I told Stacy I couldn't accept her gift because it was too much money. My husband is now angry with me because he feels I am the person at fault for the loss of his trip. Is my husband right that we should request a gift exchange from the giver, or was I justified for not accepting it in light of the fact that it was too much money?
Hey, this question seems to be in violation, direct violation of Chris Egger's early advice on how to keep your marriage in good working order. Something to think about.
So the
direct question was my husband right?
Yeah.
No, he's not.
No.
No, he was not right.
Is the wife right for giving it back?
No. No, I would have accepted the trip. Yeah. Hope that the Baldy McAngry would, I don't know, cool out on the cruise.
Now, hold on. Let me ask, put this in some context here.
Okay.
The man says, look, I want to go to South America and I want to go see, what's that big old Jesus statue in Rio de Janeiro? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. He says, that's what I want to do. The daughter books him a trip that does not go past that. That was his whole life goal, is to see this thing.
Yeah.
She books it to South America. It's going nowhere near the thing.
Yeah.
And then his option is, if he goes now, he will never get to go again and see this thing.
Why will he never get to go again?
Because they were just there.
Well, I'm sorry, what?
Wouldn't it also be offensive to the daughter if you're like, well, we're going to go next year and see this big statue that we didn't get to see last time?
No.
Hey, I paid for you to go to South America. Your trip wasn't good enough. We're going on our own next year.
Now, I mean, here's the thing. Is like the mistake is the thought that like he had the money, like he definitely had this money and that it can be used in a certain way. Like, she gifted it to him. So, I mean, like, he was otherwise planning on doing this thing unbeknownst to him that the daughter might gift them something.
He's not
banking on the money.
No, I'm playing the advocate here.
I'm with you.
If I said, I've always wanted to go to New York, and my daughter says, I got you a trip to Los Angeles. Well, great.
Enjoy the trip to Los Angeles, you jerk.
I don't want to go to Los Angeles.
I don't give a crap. Send somebody else. Hey,
I can only get so much time off of work.
Hey, man, I get to go to South America, but I really don't get to go see the statue I want to. No, you're a schmuck. Go.
Now, hey, listen, if I gave somebody a gift that they legitimately can't use, I would really appreciate them if they said, look, it's about the same cost. Do you mind if I go
to
New York?
But it's not that he can't use it. It's because he's throwing a little fit about the itinerary.
Now hold on a minute. You
are painting this guy in a terrible light. Now, I feel like he's not that off base.
Well, the wife may have misrepresented him a little bit. So, like, here's the deal. If it was my daughter, right? Let's say one of my kids bought us a trip and it was taking me close to something that we always wanted to see, I might say, hey, I really appreciate the thought. This, we're really excited about this. One of the things we've always been interested in seeing is this. Do you know, is there any way that we can accomplish that with the trip in the way that it's set up? Like, is there a way that we can you know, move one of the days and kind of reorient the trip? Do you think that's possible? Can we talk to your travel agent? Is that something we could work out? You know, you're not saying I don't like the trip. I'm not saying that it's not gracious.
New York is not by Los Angeles.
No. He's going to South America.
Mike, we're not speaking to your secondary situation that has nothing to do with what's going on.
It's really close, though. South America's a big country.
I think I would be far less invested in being upset about it. But, like, if it was something that was, like, so close to something I wanted and someone gave me a gift, yeah, I don't think I'd have a problem bringing that up. But, like...
Yeah, but it's all how you frame it, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a jerk about it, then yeah, you should stop being a jerk about it. But, like,
bah humbug, not going to South America.
Hey, that's not how I put it. I'm just saying.
All right, so what's the advice? Or what, she just asked for an opinion.
Well, here's the deal: is I feel like the wife spoke up a little too soon in an attempt to hide embarrassment, and I thought that was a bit of an overreaction. So really, the advice would be is to accept the trip and say, listen, we're really close to the giant Jesus statue. Do you mind if we shave off Wednesday and we go chuck up and see it? I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. And if I were a kid and I wanted to give you good things, I would be excited about that particular aspect. If you rejected the trip completely, like, that's probably a little offensive to me. This seems like a legitimately older man. Like, I don't think I have to cover up his childish behavior by canceling the trip. That seems like a bit of an overreaction.
I'm seeing the wife here is just really having trouble accepting the trip as a whole. It just seems like it's a little too overwhelming for her, and just because it's so overwhelming that she doesn't even feel comfortable going in and asking for a minor modification that would ultimately make it the trip that her husband's wanting. So if she could just accept the gift graciously,
yeah,
and then, you know, once she's personally accepted it and said, okay, it's okay for us to accept this gift, then she can actually have a dialogue with her daughter later on and say, hey, you know, just a subtle tweak would really, I don't know, really make this the trip that we've been dreaming about. And I think the daughter would be open to that. I think she would really appreciate knowing that she was able to provide the trip that they ultimately wanted. I mean, that's what her goal was to begin with.
Right.
She wasn't just going around looking for, hey, what's the cheapest, you know, South America? Yeah, right. Get everyone to South America
otherwise
on a banana boat.
You'd send her to Newark or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it would probably start with the wife just saying, hey, it's okay to receive gifts, even gifts that seem lavish.
Yeah, that's probably a good point. Like, if she wasn't uncomfortable, she probably wouldn't have had the reaction that she had. I could get on board with that. What do you guys think? You agree with that over there? What are your thoughts on the matter? What would you say, Akers?
To me, it just seems like they all need to get in the room together and talk again and work on the way that they are addressing the questions, I think. Just sit down, take a deep breath, decide on who's going to talk first, and then... I don't know, it's almost business-like, but I think it could go a long way to just help. Maybe using language like, I heard you say this. Is that what you meant? I received it like, just language that clarifies what you heard. And I don't know, that's where I'd start.
Obviously, just my question, if your wife said that to you, what would you be, Rich?
I would ask her to leave for 5 minutes. And bring, and bring my wife back.
See,
what do you mean received what I said? I've known you for 17 years. You received what I said.
I only ask that question because I think of any formal dealings that work with a lot of people and bringing folks together, and then Mike would probably buck up against it. I was just interested to see what his reaction would be on things that actually would help normal people. Mike doesn't tend to respond to those.
Mike, I seriously think we need to do a side series of just you out in the world having random conversations with people and having to react to their way of speaking and then see how you react. Somebody walks up, hello, Mike, it's nice to meet you. And he's like,
why?
Why are you saying that to me?
What do you want from me?
Is there something about my facial structure that made you think coming over with that would have been good? I actually had some really interesting conversations at work. Here's the deal. Like, I was talking to a guy at work about some Jesus stuff. Like he was struggling with some parts of the faith, and like I only have like one motivational mode when it comes to Jesus, and it's pretty intense and buck it up, man. Why are you acting this way? You know the God of the universe, and you're crying like a pansy. Seriously, let's straighten this up. You know, so let me this one for like an hour. You know, and I thought, crap. You know, like I and after it was all done, I said, Lord, I don't know what I said really. but I feel like I'm hoping that you said it, and that if I said it wrong, you can straighten it out in his head, that it makes perfect sense on what you wanted him to hear, because I think that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's kind of my fixer. You know what I'm saying? I boldly speak for Christ, but sometimes Mike just shines a little too much. And so I think the Holy Spirit fixes it and takes care of it.
Mike's an inadvertent tongue speaker.
He needs an interpreter at all times.
It's most of his conversation.
I get super excited when someone wants to talk about Jesus outside of church, you know, so I get all fired up and I start yelling and stuff. Anyway,
why are you yelling at me?
I literally start yelling. I'm like, Jesus, so much. That is the purpose of blah, blah, blah. And I'm like smacking stuff, you know. Anyway.
It's horrifying. I've been on the receiving end of that. It is terrifying. I'm three times his size and I was intimidated. it's like, hey, man, stop yelling at me.
It's things that, like, when I go to bed at night, I'm like, I feel like you've made me specifically for a purpose for, like, one or two people, you know? Like, not to the masses, but, like, a guy. Mike, that's your guy. Okay, you know? Anyway. Let's finish up the life from the
Sabbath. What's secular have to say about that?
Secular's advice.
Secular says, your husband sounds like a handful. He was at fault. Your mistake was allowing him to put you in the middle. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry you fibbed to your daughter about why you refused her generosity. No mention there of you shouldn't have fibbed to your daughter, just I'm sorry that your bad husband put you in that situation. Because the expense had nothing to do with it. Your husband's ingratitude had everything to do with it. Because the cruise didn't suit him, he should have spoken to her and asked if the itinerary could be adjusted. That way, nothing could have been lost in translation, and he might have gotten his wish.
Yeah, I probably overreacted on the dude, because the wife I don't actually know that he's ingracious, right? I just know how the wife kind of portrayed him. She's made the decision that she likely regrets. Someone needs to be at fault, not her, and it sounds like the guy got a little bit too heavy of a bag on it. Or he could be an ungrateful jerk move. I don't know.
His name's Randall. I know him. He's a jerk.
Why,
I made that up.
Why are you going to say that about Randall?
Anyone who's watching the show, if your name's Randall,
there's no.
I'm not trying to lump you in on a bunch of dudes. Like, all Randalls
are
bad.
Your listening audience just decreased
by, like,
half.
One.
There's half of our
Do we have one dude
Randall's?
To watch? Randall, I apologize. If you're out there... You know, I didn't mean to throw your name
out.
We've
got Pete's and Randall's, and we lost the Randall's. We're still holding on to you, Pete.
Pete, we still care about you.
All right, hopefully there's no one named Randall in the kingdom of the Slovenes. All right, Mike, one more.
What? Sorry, there are people writing in about a bunch of stupid stuff. Hold on a minute. No, man, you guys did that one last week. I wasn't
quality.
Quite, I wasn't quite
quality
ready.
Stuff.
You get ready?
Yeah.
I wasn't quite ready. I was hoping the internet would catch up. Dear Life from the Path. My boyfriend and I both have professional careers and are independent. We have been in a committed relationship for 8 years now.
Oh boy.
Wow. What kind of
relationship? Just marry her already.
Committed. We're in for the long haul. When we first met, I wasn't looking to be in a relationship. He pulled all the stops to get me to date him. He was attentive, complimentary, dinner dates, movies. He was the first to say, I love you. Prince Charming had nothing on him. When he knew I had finally fallen for him, the chase was over and everything came to a screeching halt.
I see.
No more dates, no more I love yous. Everything he did to get me to fall in love with him stopped.
Hold on.
Classic.
Sorry. No more dates? What? What? Yeah. What? Then,
for eight
what,
years?
What goes on? Sorry, continue.
Good morning, sweetie. That's it.
Hear him out. There's obviously a redemptive part of the story. The man I fell in love with does not exist anymore.
What? Whoa. Where did he go?
Hold on to it, pleats. Here we go. If I ask him if he loves me, he tells me I shouldn't be insecure and needy. I told him hearing the words mean a lot to me, but the words seem to have been deleted from his vocabulary. Any suggestions on how I could get him to understand how I need to hear it from him? Wow.
Dump him.
Get yourself a manly presence in your life. That guy is terrible.
Yeah. Leave your committed relationship for the past 8 years.
Here's the deal. Like, I joke about this, right? But this is sad. A gal is looking for attention from a man. She's basically, I mean, this is the position that God has arranged in a marriage, right? Like, this woman is looking for a certain way for a man to act that she'll know that she'll be loved and taken care of for her whole life. And he conned his way into getting those feelings out of a gal. And ladies, they hold on tight with love like that. They just do. And, like, this guy is completely taking advantage of this lady's ability to love. And is just using it for himself like a con man. And, like, if I couldn't put it in a joking manner, it would really make me angry. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It would make me very mad that this dude even still has a woman within 50 feet of him.
Yeah, I agree. That's done. It is not your job to try to otherwise drag this out of him. I'd like to hear the words. Don't be so insecure.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
That's yeah.
I mean, here's the deal. If your wife came up to you tomorrow and said, look, I'd just like to hear I love you from you, I'd be like, great. The key has finally been unlocked. I'm fishing for like half a conversation trying to decipher what you really want for Christmas. I can't really decide what's going on. But you walk right up to me, look me in the eye and say, I love you makes me feel very special and it makes me feel loved. I'm like, that's my go-to from now on. I'm going to use that all the time because it's no fail. And I want you to feel loved. And if that's what was it, if that's what does it, that's what I will do because I want you to know that I love you. And like, it shouldn't be anything other than how can I make you feel loved? Here's how it's done. That's what I'll do. Perfect.
Yeah. I think that's over.
Oh, yeah. You're 7 years, 6 months too long knowing this, man.
Cut him loose.
Okay. Secular says.
Wait, did anybody have any alternative advice?
I just think it's interesting that this has been going on for so long. Like, I could maybe see a little bit of the guy's perspective if it was, like, 3 months into the relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the chase is over, the magic might be fading out a little bit. Then you could maybe repair it. But 8 years, like, you kind of got to walk out at that point, you know?
Yeah, the insecurity is that she hasn't dumped him, not that she needs to hear I love you. He needs to go.
Yeah. And where's your dad?
So I suppose he's got that right. Inadvertently, he's got that right. There is an insecurity there, but I agree.
And I think you got to be careful too, because when and if that time comes where she decides, these guys are right, I need to move on, I love you might come back, you know? And at that point, I think you need to be really careful and look back at, well, what's the history we've had here? Why is this only coming out now after 7 years of not hearing it? So just be really careful when that does show up again out of another state of just trying to get what he wants, you know?
I agree. What Akers is saying is that guy's a cursed fig tree.
Yep. Yeah. It's really not that uncommon among guys just to get this idea of I pursue, and then get this idea that now that we're committed, I've conquered, and there's no really... there's no area for achievement. There's nothing left to advance on it. And so they just kind of drop it. They don't invest anything more into it. And so the relationship really just plateaus. It just sinks and gets stale.
No. And if I can say something to guys, like, here's where your mistake is at. If that's the type of thing that you're thinking, you're the guy that climbs 3/4 of the way up Mount Everest and then simply stops and says that I've attained everything that could be attained. You never actually reach a summit. You don't pursue long enough to actually be part of something that is historic and that changes your life. What you did was you climbed up a little bit, hung out with the guy who lives there or the Sherpa that's paid to be there, and decided that was the experience you're going to take home and tell everybody about. And so you are deceived to think that you've actually had the experience of being in a committed relationship with someone. That is the type of thing that will actually change your world and as part of the process refine you and help you become a better person because of that sacrifice, and you've just gotten too elated with the thought of hiking up 3/4 of the way with a bunch of other drunk guys that you knew who think that's the epitome of the experience. And so you're incorrect in that matter. Stopping short, finish that thing off to the top by actually serving and committing to a woman, and there's where you're getting all the things that people actually, you know, art is actually about. Art is not about the 3/4 of the way up. Good art is about the quarter of the next, and you're missing out on that. That's why you don't understand it.
Yeah, so guys, if you can, just chase after the beauty that you've already caught. I mean, learn to chase after her. Even though you feel like you've already caught her, continue pursuing her. That's all I got.
My wife got a hold of potato chips and tried to make her way down the hallway, and I chased her fierce. Mm-hmm. I said, come back with those potatoes, woman. Let's have them together.
were you 3/4 of the way through the bag and you needed one of that final quarter?
And art's at the bottom of the bag.
Actually, here's the problem. My wife eats 3/4 of the bags of every bag of potato chips. She's a potato chip a maniac. And so if I want any chips at all, I always come in the last quarter.
So every 4 bags, you get a full bag of potato chips?
Yes. Yes,
but it's all comprised of fourths of bags, and the last fourth is always like the crappy crumbs.
Yeah,
and there's like a full bag of Cheeto dust.
Just think about this: there's a lot of air at the top of the bag, right? She gets that 25%. Yeah,
no.
Yeah,
no.
I'm trying to spin it so you get more chips.
The fourth is based upon settled contents of the bag, Boova.
I don't take that at all. That fraction is based upon like the whole bag itself for me. You only get 3/4 of the bag to begin with. There's a lot of air. Why are we having this conversation?
This is some
Mike, what does Secular have to say about
the
situation?
Think about right so now.
Are you guys bag half empty or half full kind of guys?
I'm 25%.
It depends on how long I've had the bag. It's probably empty.
Yeah. I'm all the way empty. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
All right, Mike, what does Secular have to say?
I was going
to
ask, has my wife been there? Because it would be half empty.
Secular says, you have already told your boyfriend what you need. Now it's time to find out why he isn't willing to give it to you, because he's a jerk. Then ask yourself if you want to continue to live like this indefinitely, because he appears to have changed considerably. Yes. Is he the kind of husband you would want for a lifetime? No, he's a jerk. If not, you might be better off with someone more responsive, like a wet towel, because this appears to be the status quo, and the man has shown himself to be unlikely to change due to his jerkiness. Secular. That's outrageous. You think you know an advice columnist, and then they say something like this.
Yeah, the tides have turned. All right, you're listening to Life from the Path. All right, here's what we're going to do. Let's kick this show out of here with a bang. Jake, tell me a little bit about the song that's on the docket.
All right, so I'm going to play a song for you guys. I came in here intending to do a different song, but I'm going to change it up a little bit just because after hearing the songs that you guys were playing, they're very sort of focused on corporate, gathered public musical worship, like that you'd sing in a church and stuff like that. And so I've only ever written one of those songs, but I want to stay sort of consistent with the theme tonight. So I'm going to play a song that I wrote about a year ago. It's called Hound of Heaven. And it's about a lot of stuff, but I sort of wrote it with a congregation in mind. I actually did this one night at our sort of large group gathering for the Navigators, and having people sing along with this thing that I wrote for Jesus was just kind of what you guys are talking about. A very cool experience.
Wait a minute. Does that mean we can sing along with it?
I don't have lyrics for it.
Doesn't matter.
If you pick it up,
it'll breathe into me.
Oh, yeah.
The bouncing ball will appear
somewhere.
I'm
ready. Yeah.
All right, sweet. And is this, is your music available anywhere besides Life from the Path?
Yeah. I was in a band that is now dead that is called Oregon Kids.
That's ironic.
Which is kind of, moving to Oregon now. but we had a Bandcamp, oregonkids.bandcamp.com. There's a live album up there and an EP. That I did a little while ago. I also have a SoundCloud, so just look up SoundCloud Oregon Kids, and there's a Facebook page too. But I'm thinking about sort of relaunching after the summer, focusing on writing in the summer, and then, I don't know, maybe a new band, maybe just a sort of like Jacob Stewart music thing.
Cool. All right, well, dig on that. Go ahead and hit up that SoundCloud. Look for the Oregon Kids. The band was recently killed by Bob Eisenhower. but otherwise, he's going to stop advertising too. This is Jacob Stewart. You're listening to Live from the Path. Take it away, man.
All right.
I know everything I touch eventually will turn to rust. This world has nothing that can grant me everything I truly need. Still I seek the treasures that have promised what they cannot give. I'm running from the only one who really knows where I belong. Hound of heaven, match my step until my lungs have nothing left. Though I flee through caverns deep and shroud myself in darkness, reach across my pride and vanity, bridge the chasm, chain the seas. Though I run from his decree, the conquering king has died for me. Awful gain, praise a man cannot sustain. Nature's beauty fades to nothing, all my riches die with me. And in the end my feet have failed, still pursue you, still prevail. My battered soul has seen the scars, my sin have marked upon your hands. Hound of heaven, match my step until my lungs have nothing left. Though I flee through caverns deep, shroud myself in darkness, reach across my pride and vanity, chasm, chain the seams. Though I run from his decree, the conquering king has died for me. The firmament cannot contain the weight and power of your name. Age to age you stand alone, a conquered king upon your throne. Set the earth upon its frame, the heavens resonate your fame. Hold the waters in your hand, no mortal power dissolves your brand. Hound of heaven, match my style, till my lungs have nothing left. Though I flee through caverns deep, shroud myself in darkness reach, across my pride and vanity, bridge the chasm, chain the sea. Though I run from his decree, the conquering king has died for me.
That was Jacob Stewart. Hey, guys, thanks for so much for hanging out with us on Live from the Path. Big thanks to Chris Akers, Wayne Stewart, and Jacob Stewart. You guys, thanks so much for coming in. Always a great time to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Make sure to check them out. Listen to the music. Pick up that book. I want to be talking about it. And, again, be faithful to the means. God will handle the ends. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path.